Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
This is Bump and Stacy
on Seattle Sports.
Streaming through the Seattle Sports app.
Now, here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Ross.
Here we go now.
We are live from Seahawks headquarters. And when I say from Seahawks headquarters, I mean we're literally sharing a floor with the Seahawks War Room. Seattle on the clock tonight at pick number 16. It's day one of the NFL draft finally here. Brady Henderson of ESPN in with me in place of Michael Bumpus. You're going to hear Bump and Brock and Wyman and Bob later live covering the draft. Make sure you don't go anywhere. Stay tuned right here to Seattle Sports for live draft coverage. But Brady, you and I are here to do a bit of a preview for tonight. It is a huge night, a huge night. Let's talk about some of the things this team has to accomplish over the weekend, starting with obviously getting some young talent, but it feels like there has to be a goal in mind for this team, right?
Yeah, in my opinion, it is. This has to be, at least in the early rounds, or at least to a large degree, a meat and potatoes draft, meaning you've got to fix your issues up front. And it's so easy to lose sight of that when you start talking about all these great edge rushers that could be available to them. The always fascinating conversation about, okay, what quarterback could be there?
Okay, so the fun picks.
The fun picks, yes. There's got to be a sizable meat and potatoes element to this draft. When you think back, like, it's easy to forget, or maybe not that easy to forget, that this team has been the worst run defense in the NFL over the last couple seasons, and they have a serious question mark in the interior of their offensive line, which had a really tough time last season and really needs an influx of talent there. So he's still got a pretty big opening at one of those guard spots in addition to just some other question marks at other spots. And so along the offensive line. So I think the big goal for the Seahawks in this draft should be get better up front.
Now the guys are going to be reacting to the pick when it actually comes in later. But, you know, I was watching, a bit of the NFL Network's draft coverage and looking at all the fans and thinking about just the fanfare and excitement around the draft when your team makes that pick and you hear the little draft chime, dun, 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 and just your heart skips a beat and you're like, what's it going to be? Exactly. Thank you, Matt. It gives me life. And I know it gives you guys excitement heading into tonight. And I thought, you know what? I think Troy Fautanu out of Washington, a perfect fit. Perfect player for this team. And at this point, with all the exciting picks we've talked about, I wouldn't be disappointed, but I would almost be like, okay, sure. But to your point, that's kind of what they need. I mean, let's say that he's the pick at 16.
Yeah.
What will John Schneider have accomplished with that?
He would have gotten one of the best interior offensive linemen in this draft, a guy that you would know exactly what you're getting in, given, you know, the connection. Obviously, the Ryan Grubb was his offensive coordinator at UW. Scott Huff was his position coach. So unlike a lot of these picks, there would be typically when you draft a guy, there is, you know, even all the homework you do on them, you can go to the school in the fall, you can bring the guy in on a 30 visit and spend a few hours with him, you can talk to everybody at the school. There is an element of unknown, like in terms of what you're getting personality wise. They would not have that, so that would be a guy that if they drafted him, they could sleep comfortably at night knowing exactly what they're getting personality wise and knowing exactly what they're getting on the field, which is a difference making interior offensive lineman who plays with an edge, which is what this team has been lacking. If you listen to like the real hardcore draft people, they would tell you he's got some of the best footwork of any offensive lineman in this draft. He's a superior athlete, even, you know, compared to some of these other guys that could be sort of in that same vein in terms of like, you know, interior offensive lineman. And so I think that would be a home run pick. I think the grand slam scenario would be maybe trading back a few spots and getting him. But yeah, I don't think anybody would find anything to quibble about if they took him at 16. You know, you said, I got to make one point quickly. Yeah. You said you get excited when you hear the da 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 da.
Yeah. Da, 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 one da, more time, Matt. It's just so great.
Okay, you get excited.
Yeah.
I get nervous. And I don't get nervous in the sense that, like, I'm not a fan. So
your job gets it's about to get very difficult.
Right.
For you.
And what specifically makes me nervous is that they're going to pick a guy who I have not done homework on because he's just has not been on my radar. And that's happened more times than I'm willing to.
How about this? Before I ask my next question, what are some names that you've made sure to do your homework on that you think are a real possibility at 16?
Yeah, Fautanu, Talisi Fuaga, and I hope I'm saying his name correctly, Jared Verse, Chop Robinson, just, you know, guys like that. Byron Murphy, the second, although I think there's an interesting conversation to be had about him and whether he is exactly what they're looking for body type-wise when you look at what Mike McDonald had in Baltimore. And so, yeah, again, I you can never say speak with any level of confidence about what the Seahawks are going to do in the early rounds, but I would anticipate it's an offensive interior offensive lineman or a defensive lineman, which I will admit too that I'm like listing a position groups, and you know it could be there's like eight different position groups within those two,
yeah,
or eight different positions within those two position groups. So I'm giving myself a lot of wiggle room there, but
it counts as calling your shot.
Yeah,
I think exactly. It still counts. Let's hope that it's a name for which you are very prepared, so that that becomes a lot easier for you, because you and all these other reporters are going to have a very busy night with all these interviews and articles. Let's take a step off the field, talking about these players away from the board and into the war room. I'm really, really curious to hear what John Schneider has to say coming up with these guys later at 4 p.m. You guys are going to hear from the general manager on draft day, literally an hour before the start of the draft. You will be hearing him. And I can't wait to hear what he says, because Brady, the last thing I want to talk about before we get to four down territory, to me, this is fascinating for John. And I've always wondered, as I'm sure you have, but I'm hoping you have more insight than me. I've always wondered about the kind of limitations or extent of control that John Schneider's had over drafting. One of the stories I know we're talking about is it's John's first draft without Pete. Unfortunately, I don't really know what that means. Like we're not in the war room.
Right.
Right. I did tell you one time I used the bathroom near the war room.
Yeah.
And that was thrilling. It was the closest I've ever been.
Yeah. So to you being didn't, an you NFL didn't like GM. Pop your head in and take a picture of the draft board.
No, there was another curtain there. I was in the hallway and there was another curtain before you could get into where they're actually sitting.
Okay.
So unfortunately I was not able to get valuable intel. Yeah.
That's a missed opportunity is
it
what I would say.
It certainly is. Yeah. And for that reason, they'll probably not let me in this building again, but it was many years ago. But tell me a bit about your perception, maybe what you're curious about, what you might want to ask John Schneider later tonight, knowing that it's his first quote solo draft.
It's his first draft without Pete Carroll. I don't think that's going to change as much as people might think. Now, some of the specs that they might be looking for position-wise, like, you know, we all know that for under Pete Carroll, for most of his tenure anyways, they looked for long cornerbacks, mm-hmm. and the cutoff was like 32-inch arms. They started to relax on that in the later years under Pete Carroll, because I think they realized they were passing up on pretty good cornerbacks who just didn't have that type of length. But the point there is that, yeah, I think position by position, they might be looking for things a little bit differently out of certain guys to play in Mike McDonald's defense. But everything I've ever heard is that this was John Schneider's show. Meaning, you know, yes, Pete Carroll did have final say. I think that really came into play more so at other points in the offseason, like free agency, you know, when it came time to decide, hey, are you gonna pay? Are you gonna, you know, match an offer to keep this guy versus Pete Carroll putting his foot down in the draft room and saying, nope, gotta have this guy. Now, I think there's one semi example of that. I think the Rashad Penny situation in 2018, a lot of the organization, a lot of the front office liked Nick Chubb. And wanted to take him with that first round pick. Yeah, not to bring up the and realize that's a sore subject, but I think that is one instance where, and I heard that Nick Chubb was Pete's guy too. But from what I understand, Brian Schottenheimer really wanted. Yeah, Brian Schottenheimer had kind of he had some concerns there, mm-hmm. and so they deferred and they ended up passing on Nick Chubb, taking Rashad Penny. But by and large, I think this has always been John Schneider's show and will continue to be.
Well, it's Brady Henderson's show today. He's in for Michael Bumpus, and we got four football questions for him. Let's get to four down territory.
This is four down territory, going inside the game with former Seahawks and Coug wide receiver Michael Bumpus.
First down, Brady, who's a player who's been widely mocked as a top 10 pick, who, if he fell out of the top 10, would be very tempting for the Seahawks at 16.
Yeah, Dallas Turner is one of those names.
I like
he
that.
Spent a
Roll
lot
tide.
Of yeah, he spent a lot of time in the top 10. Now, as we were talking earlier, there have been some more recent mock drafts mm-hmm. that have had him slipping outside the top 10, which means maybe that's plausible. You've seen him mocked a lot to Atlanta in the top 10. Atlanta, of course, badly needs an edge rusher. But here's what I would go back to, Stacey, is going back to last year's draft. They loved Devin Witherspoon. They really loved Will Anderson Jr., who was the number one player, number one defensive player on their board. Of course, he was gone by the time they picked at five, and they happily took Devin Witherspoon, and that worked out wonderfully. But Will Anderson Jr. was their top guy, and I think you could look at Dallas Turner and Brock Heward has used the phrase, you know, maybe he's Will Anderson Jr. light, maybe not quite as polished or productive at Alabama. But if you just look at some of the testing numbers, mm-hmm. you know, the size is similar. He might even be a little bit more athletic than Will Anderson Jr. was. And so he is a guy that I think you know, if he does slip out of the top 10, that could be an interesting option for them at 16.
I love hearing someone's a little more athletic than another top five pick.
Yeah,
it's
can
great
you imagine
to hear.
That? Right.
Second down. Okay, so with Dallas Turner being your answer there, why do you think edge rusher would be a fit for them at 16? Because it's not their greatest need. You've talked about that being interior offensive line.
Well, you could also say that fixing their run defense is another massive need. And
very
you typically
true.
Think of that, of a defensive tackle accomplishing that. How about a powerful, rugged defensive end like Jared Verse, who put up an ungodly number of reps at 225 pounds at the combine? What was it, like 30 reps or something? That's offensive lineman's type strength that you're getting out of a defensive end. When you watch him play, you know, when you hear rugged, run-stopping defensive end, you think maybe the guy might not be that explosive.
I think of Viggo Mortensen.
Oh, interesting.
Well, when I hear rugged.
Rugged, okay. That would not be the first name that came to my mind, but yeah, I can see that. I can see him coming off the edge, setting a hard edge. No, but when you hear rugged and you hear 30 bench press reps, you might not think a super explosive guy, but when you watch Jared Verse come off the edge, I mean, he is incredibly bursty, incredibly fast. So he seems like the total package, and maybe not quite a similar player to Dallas Turner or Leiatu Latu or somebody, you know, some of those other guys that are projected to go kind of in that range. I think edge rusher could be a need there, or I would say edge defender, just because, yeah, you need to stop the run too.
Third down. Who is the most fascinating player in the first round? You have a lot of choices.
Yeah, quite a few. I would say Cooper DeJean. He's a fascinating player. Now, we've actually seen him connected to the Seahawks in a few mock drafts. I have a hard time seeing that happening, but he is a fascinating player, and they obviously have some level of interest in him because they brought him out here on a 30 visit. But one of the reasons I say fascinating, A, is he's a white defensive back, and I know you guys have done the race draft, and as we all know, there's not too many, certainly not too many white cornerbacks in the NFL.
There's not a lot to choose from.
Yeah, and he is just a incredibly skilled, incredibly versatile player. They're talking about, okay, yeah, is he going to be a cornerback? Is he going to be a safety? Could he sort of play that hybrid Devin Witherspoon role where you start him at outside cornerback and then you move him inside the nickel? So he is a fascinating player. You know, another part of his story is that he's coming off, I think, a broken bone in his foot or his ankle that ended his season early last year. So talking about a guy still being a top, you know, a first round pick despite all that, despite coming off the injury. There's a lot of interesting elements to his game and his story. And
I can't get over his teammate, fellow corner, being white, too. Like,
Riley,
if everyone's already talking about, like, oh, yeah, it's great. I mean, starting corner, he's white. You don't see white cornerbacks a lot. Oh, and his teammate was, too.
Yeah. So remember the Seahawks
Seahawks
made a trade on day two last year with Denver, and that's how they ended up with an extra third-round pick this year. Denver traded up to get Riley Moss, who was Cooper DeJean's teammate at Iowa.
Fourth down. All right, in 2 minutes here, the Seahawks always like to zig when others zag, but is there a move they could make that would genuinely shock you?
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit there, which is that cornerback. That would be a move that I realize some people are talking about it. Like Daniel Jeremiah had them taken, I think, Terrion Arnold in his latest mock draft. Look, I realize that need is not the only thing that comes into play when we talk about, you know, who you're going to pick with your first round selection. Look, last year you could say they didn't really need, cornerback was not one of their biggest needs, and they still took Devin Witherspoon at number 5 overall. I would just say it is really not that big of a need right now, and to bypass other positions, the interior of your offensive line, defensive lineman, to take a cornerback, that would be a very interesting decision. And I would wonder, okay, what does that mean for Reek Wollin, a guy who was fantastic as a rookie, I would say did not take a step forward. And I would wonder if that means they have some questions about his future. And I would wonder if they took a cornerback in round one, one of my first questions would be, are they considering trading Reek Wollin?
I'd be wondering the same, because with so many glaring needs, it would be, okay, well, this is a need that I didn't know about. Like that's the only answer to me, is that this was a need that I was not aware of, and that you were looking at him. You might have had, oh, he's the best graded player we have left, but I don't know about that.
Yeah, and I know everybody wants to make the comparison of, okay, well, Mike McDonald had Kyle Hamilton in Baltimore. Kyle Hamilton was this chess piece who moved all around.
Yeah, okay.
You've also kind of got that with Devin Witherspoon.
Right.
The guy, he's not playing safety, but you're moving him from left cornerback to to nickel in passing situations. And then McDonald, you know, I was at the owners' meetings in Orlando last month, and he was talking about being, you know, willing to move those guys around from one side to the other. Like, you know, for years, Pete Carroll pretty much exclusively had, you know, one cornerback play on the left side, the other guy play on the right side. They didn't flip-flop those guys. They didn't have them travel with number one receivers. But it sounds like he's open to doing that with his cornerbacks in Seattle. And so Cooper DeJean, the point being, Cooper DeJean would seem a little bit redundant in Seattle.
Yeah. You're listening to Bump and Stacey on Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app. Brady Henderson in for Michael Bumpus today. The Seahawks seem pretty confident in Geno Smith as their starter in 2024, but does it rule out a quarterback as an option in this year's class? That's next.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
It is day one of the NFL draft. We are less than 90 minutes away, so here's what's going to happen. Brady Henderson in for Michael Bumpus. We are going to be with you guys for the next half hour or so. We're going to be taking your draft questions, a draft edition of What I Need to Know, coming up at 45 after. You can get those in now, 866-979-3776. Then you are going to have a panel of analysts coming your way, live draft coverage. It's still going to be here on Seattle Sports. You're going to hear from Brock, Wyman, Bob, and Bump is going to be with them. So do not go anywhere. Stick around. You're going to want to hear their live draft show. Let's get to our questions, though, here, Brady. So again, draft questions coming your way in 15 minutes. Get those sent in. Here's where I want to start. Are the Seahawks going to take a quarterback in this draft? I know that it feels like we've kind of talked this into the ground, and I don't know how many people actually expected at pick number 16, even though we know Schneider was at Michael Penix's pro day and that Ryan Grubb went to Bo Nix's pro day. The bigger question to me is, and I was debating asking you just off air and then stopped myself, I am torn between knowing that John Schneider desperately at some point wants to have his quarterback and draft a quarterback.
Yeah.
And also knowing maybe this isn't the year. So I don't know how to make sense of it. How are you feeling?
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair assessment. I think you need to start with any conversation about the Seahawks possibly drafting a quarterback. You've got to start with this fact, which is that in 14 years, they've drafted two of them.
Two!
And one was a seventh round pick. The other was a third round pick, obviously Russell Wilson. And so this is a team that has not easily fallen in love with quarterbacks, at least enough to draft them. Obviously, there is a long-term question about Geno Smith. I don't think that they are 100% sold on his viability as the long-term answer there. Mm-hmm. That's part of the reason why they traded for Sam Howell. They also needed a backup quarterback. But Sam Howell gives them sort of what Drew Lock was, which was a young backup with, in their mind, the capability
upside
to be a starter. Mm-hmm. So if they have not forced that pick, and we heard John Schneider use that language before, saying, on with Bob and Dave, saying, yeah, you just can't force a pick at that position because of all that comes with it. Well, taking a quarterback at 16, when you've already got, you know, a viable starter, at least for the here and now, and Geno, you just traded a pick.
I've effectively used a third rounder.
Yeah, the equivalent of a mid round pick. You gave that up for Sam Howell. I would think that taking a quarterback in this that number 16 overall, or even at some point later in the first round, to me that would feel like forcing a pick. Now again, maybe they fall in love with a guy there, but as we've seen, this is not an organization that easily falls in love with quarterbacks. I would say with regards to Michael Penix's pro day, yes, John Schneider was there, but I would say that's the UW pro day. I mean, there might be 10 guys, 10 UW guys this year.
Fatanu also there.
Yeah, Fatanu, Roger Rosengart. I mean, go down the list. I mean, I looked at a mock draft that one of our guys did, Matt Miller. I think at one point he did a 7-round mock draft at one point, and there were 10 Huskies in his 7-round mock draft. So there was a lot of players there. And look, I remember keeping an eye on Schneider during that. And during the offensive lineman workouts, when Fatanu and Rosengarten, he had a close eye on those guys. When Michael Penix was throwing, he didn't seem to be watching as intently. Now, maybe that was just an acting job and a put on. And if so, then give him an Academy Award. But just based on that, based on
very interesting, other Brady. Things this is why I've we heard, have you on, Brady.
Yeah, I just
little nuggets.
I just don't get the sense that they love Michael Penix enough to take him at 16 overall.
Let's talk about not taking a quarterback at 16. Tell me what you think about this, because this is sentiment that I've seen from a lot of people and that I've wondered myself. Here's the layout. The Seahawks probably not going to take a quarterback at 16. Geno is just fine as a starter for this year, but next year's draft class, not especially great. How about you take a flyer on day 3? I have heard that take so many times. How would you feel about doing that?
A flyer on day three? Yeah, I mean, that would depend on what you've accomplished to that point in the draft, I would say. I mean, if you wait to day three and you haven't drafted a defensive tackle there, then and your choices between a defensive tackle and, you know, a late projected late round quarterback like, I don't know, Sam Hartman or Joe Milton or Jordan Travis.
Yeah.
To me, that would feel like you're just drafting a quarterback to draft a quarterback. Unless they see something like really special in one of those day three guys, then they're like, I can't believe this guy fell, you know, past the third round. Okay, but again, they just haven't done that. Hasn't been their MO, and you don't need to draft a quarterback this year just to draft a quarterback.
I got to be honest, I am envious of teams that draft their guy. Like, imagine being a Texans reporter right now, and you're covering a team where it's like, what if CJ Stroud's the guy? Every game you cover on Sunday, you're watching to see something else he does that will further prove himself. It's a really exciting thing to cover.
Yeah.
And I think naturally as a reporter, I'm sure you feel this way. When you feel like you're covering potentially a superstar or a really, really great team, it's just more fun. It's interesting. There's a story there. And so selfishly, I've thought like, God, it would be fun to have that. I also think Geno has been really solid for them. And I've wondered if part of, being excited about Howell or wanting them to take a quarterback is just the idea of, well, I don't want this toy. I want another one. You know what I mean? When I don't know that a quarterback they draft this year is an upgrade over Geno unless they're somehow miraculously going to trade a number one and get Caleb Williams. And they just didn't tell me.
Yeah. Oh boy, that would be, talk about draft shocker. That would be one. No, I do think that, we were talking earlier, the last question was about a day three quarterback. And I wouldn't anticipate it. I think a day two quarterback is plausible.
Now I'm interested.
Yeah. And we already know that they brought in Bo Nix and Spencer Rattler on 30 visits to mm-hmm. team headquarters here. So we know that there is some level of interest in those guys. And I think they wouldn't do that unless they thought there was a chance that one of those two guys could fall.
And those are the two names you're watching for there, Bo and Spencer Rattler.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now look, I mean, the reason you bring a guy in on a 30 visit is because you want to get to know him more. You want to get questions answered on that guy, whether it's personality wise and or medical. So I think John Schneider said they just wanted to spend a little bit more time with those guys. Well, you don't really need to do that, I think, with Penix, because, your offensive coordinator was his OC in college.
Yeah.
I think that's probably one reason why they didn't bring him in for a visit, because they already knew him. So them not bringing him in for a visit doesn't necessarily mean they wouldn't potentially be interested in him as a day two guy. I just don't see it. I just have a hard time seeing it at 16.
All right. So let's, I love the take that you have about, like, if they do take a quarterback, it's not going to be a day three flyer. I think it could be someone on day two. Love the take. Let's move away from the draft and just talk about Geno. When I think of where this team needs the most help, I don't look at Geno going, you're the reason that they lost an extra two or three games. Like, I think that this team can be set up for success in a big way and can leave this draft weekend feeling improved without taking a quarterback.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Yeah, I mean, you're going to have a new system. You should have at least a slightly better offensive line, depending on when they address that position. And a lot of that's going to have to do with whether Abe Lucas can stay healthy mm-hmm. at right tackle. But you've got a new offensive line coach. You've got a new head coach. I mean, everything is new. I think the weapons, for the most part, are going to be largely the same when you talk about your top three receivers and Noah Fant at tight end. Backfield's going to be the same. But I think there's enough newness around there to where I wonder if there's, like, part of the thinking is, yeah, let's see if this new staff can coax more even play out of Geno, right? He's had two seasons. I would say he's had two halves of each of those seasons that were excellent,
yes,
right?
Yes.
The first half of 2022, and then the second half, really it was more like the final six or seven games of last season. But there's been two significant chunks of each of those two seasons where if you put those together, like, he's a Pro Bowl, all-pro yeah. type guy. I think the goal should be, finding some way to marry those two,
yeah.
chunks of season together. The point is, like, you see he's got the talent. The question is not about, the arm strength or the velocity or the accuracy. I mean, he's one of the more accurate quarterbacks in the NFL. He's got the tools. It's just about coaxing more even play. And I think there's an eagerness to see whether the new coaching staff can get that out of him.
All right. So keep an eye out for a potential passer drafted on day two. That's what Brady's potentially watching for. And then obviously the theme of the weekend is going to be to become a more talented team, including adding talent around the quarterback you already have. Get your questions in for What I Need to Know. We have Brady Henderson in with us, filling in for Michael Bumpus. You're going to hear Bump along with the rest of the guys coming up immediately following us, still on Seattle Sports and on the stream if you're watching it on seattlesports.com. Brady knows everything about this team. He has been studying for the draft. And so get your draft questions. I'm keeping it just to the draft. I know we have some fun with this segment, but just draft questions today. And I've got a question for you, Brady, to lead this off that I know is on all of our minds heading into tonight.
Oh boy.
Don't go anywhere.
Bumpin' Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
On Seattle Sports.
Here are your hosts, Michael Bumpus and Stacy Rost.
All right, it is an NFL draft edition of What I Need to Know, and we have Seahawks reporter for ESPN, Brady Henderson, in with us. We are live from Seahawks headquarters, quite literally sharing a wall with the Seahawks war room. We're not hearing any secrets, unfortunately, but Brady
I've
will
be... I've
got
my ear to the wall.
Yeah,
Brady, I can't hear
we've been trying to spy. Brady will be here. Make sure you're following his coverage. And then also immediately following us on Seattle Sports, you're going to have all the guys with a live draft show. Bob is going to be hosting. You're going to hear from Wyman, Bump, Brock. It's going to be a great show, so don't go anywhere. Let's get to your questions, though. I have a couple questions from listeners about the draft, but Brady, I also have one from me. Okay. My biggest question is, I have spent weeks thinking of what the Seahawks are going to do at 16. What if there's no 16? How likely is it that the Seahawks actually trade back?
Well, I think it's very likely.
I don't like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
No, it's very likely, and their history says as much. I've got it pulled up right here. I know this because I wrote this 2 days ago. Okay, in 14 drafts with Seattle, John Schneider has entered day one with a combined 14 first-round picks. So they haven't made 14 first-round picks, but they've started day one with a combined 14. They've moved back with six of those selections, and with three of them, they moved back multiple times. So that just gives you an idea. Basically, half the time that they've had a first-round pick, they've moved back with it. And I would add, too, at least a couple of the times that they stayed put and stuck at that spot, they've strongly considered trading back. 2022, I'll give you one example here. 2022, that's the year they took Charles Cross ninth overall. Before they made that selection, they discussed a trade with the Jets, who wanted to move up from 10 to 9, but they decided not to do it because they were worried that Joe Douglas would take their guy Charles Cross at number 9. So, and then even last year, remember, last year they took Devin Witherspoon at number 5 overall. We heard afterwards that John Schneider said there was two players that had either of them fallen to that spot, they would have not traded back. They would have taken them at number 5. Will Anderson Jr. and Devin Witherspoon. Will Anderson was gone. It was only Devin Witherspoon left. And yet, what'd they do? They took almost all of the 10 minutes allotted to them before taking Witherspoon because they were thinking about trading back. Now, I don't know how strongly they were considering doing it because Witherspoon was their only guy left, but they at least thought about it. So this is a team that is always looking to considering trading back, and they don't have a second-round pick, obviously, this year, so I think that's going to be a very strong consideration, if not a likelihood.
All right, to the Mac and Jacks text line for your guys' questions. One listener asks, underrated need is center. Any at 16 worth taking? Someone solid and reliable where you don't have to worry about the position for a decade?
Well, that'd be nice. Now, the thing is...
That'd be a nice change.
Yeah, that'd be nice. The thing is... Center is probably the least valued position on the offensive line in the eyes of NFL people. That's why you typically don't see like a true center going in the first round. Now, sometimes you see, you know, a versatile guy who can play center but could also play guard go in the first round. So here's a name, Graham Barton. I think he played tackle at Duke, but the thought is that he doesn't have the ideal arm length to play tackle in the NFL, so he would likely move inside to either guard or center. So he's a guy that has been projected to go somewhere in the 20s. So could he be a trade back possibility if the Seahawks do move back to somewhere in the 20s? Yeah, and could he be a long-term answer at center? Yeah, I think that could be a consideration, but that's just the way that NFL teams typically value centers. I would not anticipate Seattle doing that at number 16.
Someone wants to know your favorite draft night snack or meal. You're going to be working here, so So did you bring your stuff, or are you?
Oh no, you turned into
the cafeteria.
Yeah, one of the best parts about covering the draft at Seahawks headquarters is they let us in. They let us eat in the cafeteria. Everybody's nodding their head.
You got
Lefkoe. Oh yeah,
Lefkoe, Taylor, Brenna, just nodding along. Yeah, like, yes, solidarity.
The crab cakes are incredible. Now, are we gonna address the elephant in the room?
Yeah,
which is the massive stain that I have.
I normally 9.5 times out of 10 will have a Tide pen with me, and I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I haven't even stepped foot in the cafeteria yet, and I've already got a stain on my pants.
You could
imagine what I'm going
to
look like.
Brenna suggested this to me because I spilled soup on my pants, and there's like taco seasoning. Yeah. It's just tying something around your waist. I know it's very 90s, but you could consider it. You know?
Yeah, like a fanny pack, maybe.
Yeah. Make sure that you guys
are embarrassing me. I'm glad when I'm not you there with you guys. Get it
when Brady tweets out who the Seahawks take at 16 or whatever they do at 16, someone just please respond and say only, Brady, did you cover this stain yet, or are you still walking around?
You can't take me seriously
messed
right
up.
Now.
Come, be professional, please. Yeah. What I need to know. Let's see. This is a tough one. How about this one? Other than cornerback and quarterback, which are hard to differentiate, to speak slowly, what would be a pick, and you can go position or player, where you would just ask, why this guy?
Running back would be one obvious one. And then safety. Yeah, and I realize there's a long-term need at safety when you've got, you know, Julian Love and Rayshon Jenkins both playing on short-term deals. Kayvon Wallace is maybe going to be their third safety. He's also on a one-year deal. So long-term, it's a need. But that seems like more a position that you would try to target on day two at some point.
This is a draft question, though not a Seahawks draft question. Curtis, feel free to say your answer as well. What I need to know from the 425, what's your number one pick in a candy draft?
Oh, a candy draft. I'm going to go with either Almond Joy.
I'm sorry.
Whoa, what?
What?
Yeah.
Bob Stoughton from the is on in 15 minutes from the back of the room just yelled, what?
Yeah.
No, you're right, Bob. Exactly. That was exactly my reaction.
Yeah, well, maybe I would trade down, seeing that there's not a whole lot of value.
You might as well just draft a punter number one overall.
I would trade back and take Almond Joy. Here's another one.
Get value, please.
Heath Bar. I love Heath Bar. I love the coffee.
Brady.
Yeah. Brady.
God.
Are you 75 years old?
The correct answer is Reese's Cups.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I do love
that
Reese's
is such
Cups,
a clear number one option. That is, it's Andrew Luck.
Brady,
it's,
are you hoping Werther's Originals are also available too?
Did you see those strawberry bonbons back there?
Yeah, no, look, I like them. I just don't like them as much.
I will let you know, Brady, we have loved having you, but the 509 all caps just said Almond Joy with 5 question marks.
Yeah, sometimes you feel like a nut.
I'm sorry that... I'm sorry I attacked you, Brady. We will we'll ask you some actual Seahawks questions so that you can redeem yourself. When's the most recent time they moved back? Would you count Jamal Adams' trade as moving back?
No. We're talking about moving back on draft day, right? So that would have been...
That's a good Brady question.
Yeah, they haven't done it in a few years. I went back and looked this up the other day. They haven't done it in a few years, but again... In 2022, they thought about it. Last year, they considered it. In 2021, they did not have a first-round pick. That was because they had traded it the year before for Jamal Adams. And then 2020, they stayed put and took Jordan Brooks at, I think, 27. So the last time they did it was 2019 when they had 2 first-round picks that year.
I don't have any more draft questions because the rest of the Mac and Jack's text line has just been people agreeing or disagreeing with your pick. You do have some supporters.
Of course I do.
You guys are a quiet but strong army.
Of course.
You're out there.
Yeah, Almond Joys are incredible.
Brady, where can everyone listening find your work for tonight's draft?
Good old Twitter. Well, no, ESPN.com. And then also on Twitter.
At Brady Henderson.
Yeah.
On X.com, ESPN. Follow Brady's work. He's going to be live from Seahawks headquarters. And so will Bob, Wyman, Bump, and Brock. They're joining you guys next for live coverage, day 1 of the NFL draft. Don't go anywhere.